we are holding on Mem Gimel Amud Beis about 10 lines from the bottom. Line begins the Loshen. Okay, we left off. We were talking about an idea involving involving that we say that if a person eats kodshim with tumas haguf, when they themselves are tumay, they're chayav kares, and we were trying to figure out what's the source for that in the pasuk. Given that the pasuk mentions that if a person eats kodshim v'tum osay olav, does that mean the person is tumay, or does it mean that the meat is tumay? So we recorded a braisa that mentioned four different lemudim, how we know that it means the person is tamei. One of them was Rebbe, which is that he said we learn it from the word ba'achal, and we said how does the word ba'achal mean that he's tamei? And Rava pointed out that you need Rav Yitzchok Bar Avodimi to explain that process, and similarly you need, when you have a difficult braisa, you need Ziri to explain the braisa. And we explain how Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Avodimi clarifies how we see how Rebbe gets from the pasuk that the word va'achal means that the meat is tamei, because you have two pasukim back to back that are in the form lashon nekeva, lashon zachar, lashon nekeva. Given that the second one of them unambiguously refers to the person, then the previous one does, which mentions the tumah ter olav, also must see, and therefore we see that it means the tumah of the person rather than the tumah of the meat.
Even though
there's Lashon Zachar in between, but because you have Lashon Nekeva at the beginning and at the end, and we see in the following pasuk, there's no question that all three verbs refer to the person, therefore in the previous pasuk, which has the same structure, also all three verbs must, all three verbs or adjectives or what have you, all three things, and all three clauses of the pasuk must refer to the person being taught.
But we don't have an explanation why it's very easy.
We don't have an explanation why it switches between Lashon Zachar and Lashon Nekeva, but that's not the point. The point is that at least we see from that, that the word b'tum asay olav, don't think that it means tumas baser, it means tumas agul. So now we're gonna explain when Rava says that any pasuk that Rav Yitzchok Bar Avodimi didn't explain is not really well explained. In other words, you need him to get a good explanation. He said the same thing about a braisa. Any braisa that Ze'iri did not explain is not really fully explained. Well, he's going to give an example. He's going to give one particular braisa where we see we have a very difficult time understanding the braisa, and Ze'iri explains what it means.
How many braises did Ze'iri...
We don't know, but the point is that Robert is using this expression, any pasuk or any braisa, and we have specific examples, a specific pasuk that we see that without Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Avodimi's explanation, we wouldn't understand. And we have a braisa where without Ze'iri's explanation, we wouldn't understand. So Masnisa, what is that braisa? Again, the line begins with Loshen, 10 lines from the bottom. Masnisa, what is the braisa that we would have difficulty understanding, and Ze'iri clarifies, is also a braisa regarding the... regarding the issue of tumah of a person being tumah and eating kodshim. The braisa says as follows. Now you have a pasuk in connection with eating kodshim, with a person eating kodshim when they're tumah. You have psukim in Parashas Emor over there that talk about a person talking about a person eating kodshim, that he's not allowed to eat kodshim unless he went to the mikveh, which we say over there that kodshim over there means maaser. Then later on, because Maiser Sheni, that is, you're allowed to eat after you go to the mikveh, even before, you don't need head of Shemesh. On the other hand, in following... As opposed to Truma, or Kodshim, you need more than that. So later on, a few seconds later, it talks about Truma, and there it says also that he has to be tahor before he can eat truma or wash shemesh for tahor. It doesn't refer to them by name, right? It just says it doesn't say the words meister or the word truma. What we do on the question is the braisa says im nemru kalos lama nemru chamores. If the pasuk is telling us regarding the ones of lesser severity, and that's part of what we have to figure out is what do we mean by lesser severity? Lama nemru chamores. Why does it say the more severe ones? And if it says the more severe one, why does it say the less severe one? We have to figure out, that's part of what we have to figure out, what do we mean by more severe and less severe? Do we mean more severe and less severe degrees of tumah? Do we mean more severe and less severe things that are eaten, maaser versus tumah? What do we mean exactly? That's what we have to figure out. But first, let's learn the braisa, and then we'll ask the questions, and we'll see what Ze'iri clarifies what the braisa means. The braisa says like, im nemakalos v'lei chamores, if it only said the more lenient ones and not the more stringent ones, ha'isi omer, then I would think to say, alakalos v'lav v'al chamores v'misa. The more lenient ones, a person is only over a lav if he violates it. But the more stringent ones, he'd be chayav misa b'dei shema. L'chach mem chamuris, therefore it says the more stringent ones to teach us on the face of it. What it's saying is, therefore, even the more stringent one is only an isur lab, not mister b'dei shemai.
Otherwise you would have
thought me. The imnem chamuris v'leinem rukalis. On the other hand, if it only said the more stringent ones and not the more lenient ones, ha'isi omer ala chamuris yehi chayev ala chalis yehi potter, then you would think, okay, maybe only chayev for the more stringent ones, but you're completely potter from anything, from a lab or from mister. For the kalos, for the more lenient ones, l'chachnam or kalos, therefore it says the more lenient ones. Thus far the brisa. Now let's ask, my kalos or my chamuris, what do we mean by the lenient ones and the stringent ones? What's lenient and what's stringent? Ilem a kalos meiser chamuris tmura, or you're going to say that kalos means meiser, sheni, and chamuris means truma. So first of all, then you have to understand, what does the braisa mean when it says that if it only said the kalos and not the chamuris, you would think the kalos might say a person eats when he's tomei, he's only chayav a lot. The chamuris, you would think, which is turma, he'd be chayav mister. What do you mean? What do you mean, how you see I'm a mister? Hashanami have a mister. The fact of the matter is, a person, that's exactly what it is. A person eats turma when he's tomei, then he's chayav mister b'deshamayim. The two, and besides that also, it said we wouldn't understand that, we can't understand it means that for a different reason. What do you mean, v'iloi namar? How you see I'm a b'mista? And what do you mean that if it said the other way around, that if it only said the kalos, you would say the kalos are alive and chamuris are mista? What do you mean? Daya levom and adim is kenodim. If you're going to make a kavachoyim, you're going to say madach by meiser is how much more so by truma. Okay, but we know when it comes to a kavachoyim, you can't make what you're learning out any stronger than what you're learning from. If meiser would only be alive, what would be your basis to say that truma should be mister? That truma should be harsher and be mister. Yeah, how can you do that? A kavachoyim doesn't work that way. So obviously that can't mean kalos and chamuris. Ella, so you're going to say that it means kalos means too much sheref, chamuris means too much mess. Maybe kalos means a more lenient degree of tumah, too much sheref, where he's only tummy for that day. Chamuris means too much mess, where the pasuk does, after all, the pasuk in those sukkim, it does talk about a person who touches a sheref. It does talk about a person who becomes tummy mess. So you're going to argue that maybe that's what the braisa means by kalos and chamuris, that why do they have to say both tumas sheret and tumas mes? And the reason is because otherwise you would have thought lav versus misa, or isur or chiyur versus not chiyur. But let's analyze that. Does that work? Over my, so what are we talking about? What did the person eat when he was tummy? Ibit truma, if we're talking about that the person was tummy by a sheret or by mes, and then he ate truma, then there's no difference. It's not that one is a lav and the other one is misa. I divide the over misa. Either way, the person is hiding misa b'dei shamayim.
If he eats truma
when he's tummy with any kind of truma, whether it was truma stratus, whether it was truma, whether it was truma mess. So you can't say that it means that if it only said the kalos, that's how it is. Yeah. So you can't say that if it only said the kalos, then you would, and not the chamuris, you would say the kalos are lav and chamuris are misa. In the case when he eats truma, either one is misa. The two l'chach nemer chamuris to b'lav, and also what do you mean that therefore it says the chamuris to teach us that even then you're only over on a lav? What do you mean it's not a lav? But a misi, a person is chayav misa. He's talmid mes and he's truma. The eloi nemer who see a misa die levom and adim is kenod. Okay, this is a parenthesis because it actually takes it out because we don't really need that over here. We don't even need to bring in die levom and adim is kenod because we're not learning as one thing from the other by a kavah soima basically. The ibachil of meiser. Okay, so you're going to say maybe the braisa is talking about why it has to mention sheret or tumas sheret or tumas mes in connection with eating meiser sheni. So again, you have to ask, what do you mean? Ilun im loy nem ruchamuris heisi emra al chamuris b'mister. What do you mean that you would say if it didn't say the more stringent one, meaning tumas mes, then you would think a person would be chayav misa for the chamuris for eating meiser when he's tomei with a misa. Again, we're only learning it. How would we know that by Meister he's chayav anything at all? If it didn't say Tumas Mes, we would learn it by a Kavachoyma from Tumas Sheret. And again, the Daya Lavom and Adinle is Kenodin. And again, you have the same issue of Daya. You can't say that you're going to learn by a Kavachoyma that a Tumas Mes is stronger than Tumas Sheret and therefore should have a harsher punishment. It doesn't work that way. A Kavachoyma works that all you can prove is it's as strong as the other one. He would say Sheret would be alav, it would be Malchus, so Tumas Mes would also be alav. So what does the braisa mean? So this is what Rava means, that here you have a braisa where if you don't have the Ziri explaining the braisa for you, you're going to have no idea what it's talking about. Omar Ziri, so Ziri...
When was Ziri?
He was with one of the Amirayim, I don't know. I believe he was from one of the first generation of Amirayim, but I'm not sure about
that. Before him, I'm sure that's right.
Well, again, it could be like Aaron was talking about last night. It could be at the time the Braita was taught, everybody was clear on what it meant, but then people were forgetting or not being clear. It could be. Anyway, Omar Ze'iri. So Ze'iri says, what it means is like, Kalos means too much Sheres. Hamores means too much Sheres. Fine. Our second assumption is correct. Kalos and Hamores refers not to the degree of severity of what you're eating, Meister versus Truma. It refers to the second thing. It refers to the type of the severity of the degree of Truma. Truma Sheres versus Truma Mes. But the Hachikama, what the Braita means is as follows. Ilu Nema Truma Sheres. If it only said the case where a person is Tomei by a Sheres, Venema Meister, Venema Meister or Truma, and then it said that a person is chayav for eating meiser, and also said that a person is chayav for eating truma. V'loy nemer trumas mes. But suppose it had never said anything about trumas mes. But you see, Omer, then you would think as follows. Okay, kalos al hakalos v'lav. So okay, if a person becomes tomei with a minor degree of truma, namely a sheret, and then he eats a minor degree of kodshim, namely meiser, okay, that's only a lav. Then he's only chayav mal. V'alachamura is the misa. Then you would say that. If while being tomei with too much sheres, which is a tumah kala, if then he eats the chamura, the truma, then he's chayiv mitzvah.
The kodshim.
No, not kodshim, but truma.
Truma.
But we would figure as follows: umi de kalos ala chamuras mitzvah. If we're saying that a lesser degree of truma when he's eating a more severe thing, namely truma, makes him chayiv misa, you would think also chamures nami ala kalos misa. Then you would think by analogy also, if he was tomei with a stronger degree of truma, namely trumas mes, and he ate the lighter degree kodshim, namely meiser, then also the misa, then he should also be chayiv misa. L'chach nemru chamures, that is why it has to say the chamures, that is why it has to specifically mention trumas mes, where there also it makes it clear that even trumas mes, which is a harsher degree of truma, a stronger degree of truma, still he's eating meiser, it's only a lab, not chayiv misa, and therefore we understand now, so now we understand the situation. It doesn't really matter the degree of truma after all. It matters what is he eating. Is he eating meiser or is he eating truma? With truma, regardless whether it's a lesser degree of truma or a greater degree of truma, either way he's chayiv misa b'deshamayim. With Meister, whether it's a lesser degree or a greater degree, he's only chayav a lot. But that's the Iri clarifies, that's what the Braita means when the Braita says, if it only says the kalos, why does it say the chamuros? And because we would have misunderstood what it means. Kalos and chamuros means the degree of truma. Exactly.
And the kalos to understand the chamuros.
Kind of, yeah. So what it is, yeah, exactly. So we need, you know, the kalos and chamuros do mean the degree of truma, but if it didn't say the chamuros degree of truma, then you would think that kalos for kalos, tumah sheres and eating meiser is a lot. Tumah chamura for tumah chamura, namely tumah mes for meiser, or tumah kala for a kedusha chamura, namely truma, would be mitzvah d'shamayim. Of course, chamura for chamura would also be mitzvah d'shamayim. So you think in three out of the four cases, you have mitzvah d'shamayim. Therefore, the Pasuk mentions chamures also and tells us that a person eats meiser with tumah chamura, he's only chayav alav, and that makes it clear now that ultimately it doesn't depend on the degree of tumah, it depends on the degree of kodshim, whether it's meiser or whether it's truma. Okay.
And for that we needed
Ze'iri to explain the braisa, because otherwise we wouldn't have understood.
So what does that bring to our discussion?
Well, this was a side thing. We got into this discussion because we were talking about the case where Pigul or Noser or Tomei were put on the Mizbeach, where we said that the Tumah goes away, that the Isser goes away from them, and we were asking why is that. And then we mentioned in that connection, Lechora, we have one of the four limudim in that Braita regarding Tumas Aguf, eating Kodshim, was, we said, the Tumas Olav implies that the person becomes Tomei, but implies a Tumah that comes on but can also go away, as opposed to one that can never go away. If you're telling me that Tomei meat of a carbon is able to go on the Mizbeach, and then it's not Tomei anymore, then you have Tumah able to go away from it. So that led us, into analyzing this braisa in more detail, and that led us into trying to figure out what Rebbe means by his limud from the word ba'achal, and so in that connection, Rava mentioned that you should know, in order to understand that pasuk properly, you need Rav Yitzchak Bar Avadimi, and similarly, there's a braisa in that same connection, where in order to understand it properly, you need these.
Okay.
But all of this was kind of a side. All of this was kind of a side thing. We're now we're going to get back to issues of Pickle.
To backtrack on the comments in the news, when you someone candidly they up, take away the tumor, so to speak, or the Pickle.
So that's what we said yesterday. We said that. The comment itself is, in a sense, not subject to Pickle, in the sense that if a person... The comment itself is not subject to Pickle, in the sense that if a person eats the comment of a Pickle mincha, he's not high at heart. The comment itself, regardless whether it goes well, it has to go on a mizbeach in order for the mincha to have been properly offered.
Right.
But we said that if the comment is eaten, the person is not high of courage for eating the comment of a pig or mincha itself, because the comment itself is the matir, and a person is not high of courage for eating the matir itself. Same thing as we had in the Mishnah, the blood of the korban and various other things, that a person is not high of for eating pickle. What we said is, in addition, that we said that they go on the Mizbeach, Poka Isu Mehen, in the sense that even if after, once it starts getting burned on the Mizbeach, if it falls off the Mizbeach, you still put it back on. So the Lach Meshul Mizbeach. It was the food of the Mizbeach.
Strictly speaking, if you put the comments on the Mizbeach, the comment itself...
If he eats the comment itself at that point, he's not high of courage, because it itself is the master. Yeah. Right. But then, we said in addition, with noiser and tomei, there's also the point that if a person were to eat the noiser or to eat the tomei after it was on the mizbeach and after it was burned by the fires of the mizbeach, then he wouldn't be chayav kores for eating noiser, he wouldn't be chayav kores or alav. Similar reason, it's because it became lach mishom mizbeach, because already it was burned on the mizbeach, and therefore the iser went away. So now we're going to get back to issues of pickle. We said in the Mishnah, kol sheyesh lematirin bein la'odim bein la'mizbeach, any korban where there's something that makes it mutter, whether what it makes mutter is that a person can eat from it, or whether it makes mutter that the mizbeach can eat from it, that the fat or the meat or whatever it can be burnt on the mizbeach, chayav another mishum pigul, then a person is chayav for eating pigul from it. So for example, again, the Mishnah gave us a bunch of examples. For example, with a korban oila, once the blood is sprinkled on the mizbeach, then all the pieces of the oila are allowed to be burnt on the mizbeach. Therefore, the blood is the matir for the korban. In the case of korbanos that are eaten, the blood is the matir, not only for the mizbeach to get its portion, the fat, but also for the kohenim and all the owners to get their portions to eat. In the case of a mincha, the kohenim being going into the fire makes the mincha available for the kohenim to eat, and so forth. So, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a braisa, let's find the source of this din. Now the braisa
with the kohenim, they put the kremes on the mizbeach,
and once they do that, they're allowed to eat the rest of the mincha. Before the kremes goes on the mizbeach, they're not allowed to eat the rest of the mincha.
So they don't take it back from mizbeach.
No, why would they? No. We're talking about they take out the complete kremes. He takes out a handful of flour and oil from the mincha.
Yeah.
He puts it in a klisharis. He walks the klisharis over to the mizbeach, and then he takes out the kremes. He also collects all the levona from the mincha. He puts all that in a klisharis. He walks it over to the mizbeach. He takes it up onto the top of the mizbeach and throws it into the fire. Once it's thrown into the fire, then the rest of the mincha is eaten by the rest. All right, that's it. Yeah.
Okay, how much it goes on the mizbeach?
A koymet, a handful. So a handful, I think the Gemara in Menachos, you find that the minimum size of the koymet is 2 kazetim, but it depends on the size of the koyin. It depends on the size of the koyin's hand.
The
mincha itself is an isorin, which is a shiur chala. Anywhere between about 3 and 5 pounds, depending on who you ask.
Yeah.
10 inches, 15 inches. I don't know how much it is in inches. No question of inches. Whatever, it's a shiur challah. It's the volume of flour from which you would have to take challah, anywhere between 3 and 5 pounds.
Then you can
eat it out. So the kohenim eat it then. Okay. So, turn it up on them. So we learn in a braisa. Now the braisa begins like this. Again, the psukim in Parashat Vayikra, and also in Parashat Kedoshim, that tell us about the concept of pigul, they mention in the connection with the korban shlom. So the braisa starts by saying, well, how do we know? Maybe the whole concept of pigul only applies to a shlomim. So no, the Braisa says because we have a limud from a different pasuk. You know, from Kotcha Bnei Yisrael, or actually we have a double Gzeira Shava. Actually, we learn from you know, from Kotcha Bnei Yisrael, Lo Yichalalu. From that, Yechalalu, which is talking about Tumah, we learn from that of Zeta Shava also to Noser, where it also, by Noser, it also uses the word Chivul. In turn, from Noser, we use Zeta Shava, the word Ovin, to teach us that the same thing applies to people. That part of it we learned before when we were discussing a week or two ago, we were discussing all the Sukkim in Parshas Kedoshim versus the Sukkim in Parshas Tzav, about the whole issue of Chivul. So the Brisa, Torah Koinim, again, because whenever you have a Brisa in the Gemara that quotes the Pasuk and analyzes it, it means it's from one of these Midrasha Halacha, in this case, Torah Koinim. So it starts by saying then, so we know that Tigul applies to other Korbanas based on this double Gzeira Shava, based on Chilul and Ovo and Ovo. But, continues the Brisa, Oy Einim maybe Ela Kayose B'Shlonim, however, you could still argue, fine, but maybe from that Gzeira Shava, maybe we're only married by other Korbanas that are similar to Shlonim, namely, Ma Shlomim Yuchodim Nechalim L'Shnei Yom V'Layla Echad. Well, what's unique by a Shlomim among most other Korbanas is that you can eat the meat of it for 2 days and one night. So you bring the Korban on Tuesday, you have all the rest of Tuesday, all of Tuesday night, and all of Wednesday until Shkia.
Tuesday morning?
You bring it Tuesday sometime during the day. Yes. So you have the rest of the day Tuesday, you have all of Tuesday night, and you have Wednesday all day until Shkia. That's Shnei Yom V'Layla Echad. So how do we know, so therefore, Af Kol Nechal L'Shnei Yom V'Layla Echad. Maybe the concept of pigle only applies to other korbanos that are eaten for Shnei Yom V'Layla Echad. Nechal L'Yom V'Layla Minayin, how would we know the same thing applies to korbanos that are eaten for a day and a night, meaning, for example, a toida, or a chatas, or an osham, where if the korban is brought Tuesday during the day, all you have is you have the rest of the daytime Tuesday, you have Tuesday night, until Alois HaShachar, or according to one opinion in Baruch HaTzoch HaTzoch.
All the other Korbanos
aside from the Shlomim, you have also the Bechor and the Meiser, can be eaten for Shnei Yom V'Layla, 2 days and one night, 2 days and the night between them. Then you have other Korbanos, some of which are Kodshei Kodshim, for example, some of which are Kodshei Kodshim, such as the Chathas and the Osham, some of which are Kodshim Kalim, the Toida, where those can only be eaten for one day and one night. You don't have the next day. Once it comes Alois HaShachar, or according to one opinion, Chatzos, then that's it. It's over.
So Shlomim, Bechor, and Meiser.
So you have Shlomim, Bechor, and Meiser are 2 days and one night. And Chachas, Osham, also Zivchei Shami Tzibur, and Toida are all 1 day and one night. Zivchei Shami Tzibur, the Shlomim of the Tzibur that are brought on Shavuot, and also the Toida, which even though a Toida to a certain extent is like a Shlomim, it still has a special rule, that's only L'Yom V'Layla.
That's one time.
Right? So how do we know that the concept of Pigul applies to all of those? Tamad Loma, Mibisar, therefore the Pasuk says, when it describes the concept of Pigul, it says if a person eats Mibisar, Zevach HaShlomim, the word Mibisar is extra, means Kol Shishira, and Ne'achalim, it means any carbon of which the Shiraim, of which the leftovers are eaten. So therefore, that includes, therefore, all these korbanos, the chatas, the asham, the toida, etc. All of them have portions that are eaten by the kohenim or by the owner, as the case may be.
That's from the Gzeira Shava.
No, from the Gzeira Shava, we learn the basic concept that it applies to some other type of korban, other than shlomim.
Yeah.
But we would still think maybe it only applies to, for example, a bechor, as the Gemara is going to say later. How do we know it applies to other kochim as well? That is why we need the word mibsar to teach us that.
So there's two things that come in play.
You have a Gzeira Shava to teach us that in general that it applies to some other type of korban. And then Mibisar to teach us that on top of that it applies not only to other korbanos similar to Shlomim as far as the deadline, but also other korbanos that are not similar to it as far as the deadline.
You couldn't derive that from the Gzeira Shava?
No, because we said, again, the Gzeira Shava might teach us only ones that are exactly similar. How about Oyla She'en Shiorei Ne'achol Minolon? And actually, as a matter of fact, actually, the Chayt Nathan, one of the Meforshim on the Gemara, that you point out that actually on top of that, part of what the Braisa is going through over here, because we're going to end up also being married by other Korbanos as well, is part of the concern is maybe fine, even if we have the, even if we're going to use the Gzeira Shava, but maybe we can only be marba from it. Maybe we can only be marba from it. Kodshim Kal. How do we know to be marba? Actually, he says no. Okay,
from
the Gzeira Shava or from Mibsar. He brings from somebody else. He brings from another Mekorish called the Korban Aaron, which says maybe it would apply only to Kodshim Kal and not Kodshim. The Chayt Nathan himself doesn't like that, but he says a little differently. The point is that the point of the Braita is Fine. But we've established before, we've established in previous studies on the subject of pigul, that a korban only becomes nicked by the pigul. A person is only chayav kares for eating from it after the matir was brought on the mizbeach. But how do we know that applies to kodshim as well? Maybe we could argue as follows. Kodshim, kalim, fine. You have the rule the matir has to be brought. A shlomim, for example, a person is going to eat from a shlomim that was made pigul. He's only chayav kares if the blood was brought on the mizbeach. But how do we know the same thing applies to kosher kachim? Maybe because kosher kachim are more stringent, maybe they're nicked by the pigul. Why not? It'd be the opposite of kachim. A shlomim, which is more lenient because it's kosher kalim, therefore you need the matzah to be brought before it becomes pigul. But a kosher kachim, for example, an ola, chatas, an ola, whatever, maybe they're strong enough that they can become pigul even before the matzah was brought on the mizbeach. So an ola, for example, a person shechted with a thought of chutzlut manot, maybe it'll be pigul right away, and a person were to eat from the meat from it right at that point, he'd be chayav kares even before the blood was brought on the mizbeach. Therefore, that's why we need all these various limudim. Okay. Fine. Ola shein shiorei nechol minol. And how do we know the same concept applies to an ola, where none of it is being eaten? Tamalema zevach. Therefore, the pasuk also uses the word zevach, mipsar zevach hashlomim. And the word zevach is a generic word that means all korbanos. Fine. What about minayin l'rabat ha'ofis v'amenachos? So how do we know that the concept of pigul also applies to bird korbanos and also applies to korban mincha? Ad shani marba loik shemen shamas soda. Even to the extent, how do we know that we can also include in the loig of oil that a masoda brings, which as we mentioned in the Mishnah, we had a machlokas, whether it's subject to pigul or not, but if we say that it is. Tamad loima ashehem makdishim li. Therefore, we have a pasuk in Emor, where it starts talking about the concept of truma and noiter and whatever. It says, ashehem makdishim li, that they sanctify to me. So therefore, it means any korban which is made holy to Hashem. So therefore, again, and that's in connection with tumah. So once we have that, then again, we're able to learn noiter by the gzeira shava chilul, and we're able to learn pigul through the gzeira shava oven from noiter. So ultimately, therefore, we see that asher hei makdishim li, which applies to tumah, also applies to noiter, also applies to pigul. It applies across the board. And that's what the Gemara says. But also, noiter chilul chilul mituma. Then we learn that noiter applies to all of these various korbanos also by zera shava from the word chilul chilul from tuma in Parshas Emor. And we also pigul oven we noiter. And in turn, we learn that pigul applies to all of them by the zera shava oven from noiter.
Here, the Gemara recaps almost all the venues.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is the Braita. Then we're going to start analyzing the Braita. But yeah. Okay. Fine. The Braita says, well, ultimately, if we are being marba everything, lama nema shlama me'asa, then you got to ask, why does the pasuk mention the concept of pigul only in connection with a shlama? If it applies equally well to all korbanos, then the pasuk should have said it generically. Why does the pasuk say, if we're already learning from mibsar, if you're already learning from mibsar and from the word zevach that includes all other korbanos as well, why even bother mentioning the word hashlomim? Just say, if you eat mibsar zevach, then yeah. Yeah. The answer is, because there is a certain comparison with shlomim. Loim aloch, because you want to be taught as follows. Ma shlomim yuchodim, what is unique about shlomim? Sheyesh lehen maktirin bein la'odam bein la'mizbeach. That they have something which is matir them, whether they have something that's matir part of them to go on the mizbeach, namely their fat. They have something that is matir them to be eaten by people, namely the rest of the meat that's eaten by the kohenim and by the owner.
Once the
blood is sprinkled on the mizbeach, then the fat becomes mutter to be brought on the mizbeach. Then the meat becomes mutter for the people to eat. The same thing, in order for something to be subject to the rules of pigul, it has to be something of which has a matir that makes it mutter to be offered on the mizbeach or to be eaten by people.
And you couldn't learn that if they started shlomim.
If it didn't mention shlomim, then you wouldn't know that concept. Because you have some carbonates where you have some carbonates, you have some kinds of things. For example, as we listed in our Mishnah, for example, you have Lavoina and Ketoras, you have Ketoras, for example, and Minchas Kodim and whatever, where there is no master because the whole thing is burnt on the mizbeach.
So by citing Shlomim, it infers...
It means that we learn a binyan out from that it has to be something that has a master. Right.
And that master applies to
So that's what it means. In other words, so in the case of the shlomim, the matir makes it able to be makes it that the fat is able now to be burnt on the mizbeach, and it makes that the meat can be eaten by the people. As opposed to, for example, a minchas koyanim has no matir. The whole thing is burnt on the mizbeach. Nothing. The korban of the mincha itself is completely burnt on the mizbeach. There's no matir.
Right.
Therefore, pigul doesn't apply to it.
Right. But from learning the matir from the shlomim, how do we know that the matir applies to this korban instead of that korban?
Because we know the rules of each korban that it says in the Torah. You have korbanos of which the Torah says they're completely burnt on the mizbeach, and nobody gets any, and or not even burnt. Yeah, then whether we're, you don't have a part that's separated out, and then in the case of an ola, again, you have a part separated out. You have the blood sprinkled on the mizbeach, and then the rest of it is burnt. As opposed to a minchas toyanim, for example, nothing of it is separated out. Kol tiyolayim, the whole thing is put on the mizbeach as it. Yeah. That's the point. That's the point. Therefore, it's not like a shlomim. Therefore, pigul doesn't apply.
You could have said the same thing about other korbanos.
If you didn't have the word shlomim, right, then you would think that it applies equally well to mincha koyanim, for example. That's the point. Shikim Kovetis also adds a line over here that therefore we're able to also include chatasoyf because the blood of it is maserit to a person. We can also be married by the parim and istrafim and istirim and istrafim because they have that you have now once the blood of them is sprinkled where it's supposed to be sprinkled inside the hekel, then the fat of them is burnt on the mizbeach. So again, the maser for them is the sprinklings inside the hekel. Then the Braisa continues, or Shitra Mukhubetta takes out this, but this is how we have it in our Gemara over here. Again, repeating what we said in our Mishnah. So now, with a korban ola, the korban ola has a matir, because when the blood of it is sprinkled on the mizbeach, it's thrown onto the mizbeach, that's on a shtein chein arba, then at that point, the meat of it is mutter to be burnt on the mizbeach, before that it's too early. And by the way, also it's matter that the skin of it can be eaten, not eaten, that the skin of it can be used by koyanim. They use it for leather or whatever. Olaf the oif, doma matter, sorrel mizbeach. In the case of an olaf the oif, the blood of it is pressed against the wall of the mizbeach, and that makes it mutter now that the flesh of it, the body of it, is burnt on the mizbeach. In the case of a chata sa'if, once the blood of it is squeezed onto the mizbeach, then the meat of it is given to the koyanim to eat. No part of a chata sa'if other than the blood goes on the mizbeach. The whole rest of it is eaten by the koyanim. But that's the point. The blood is the
matzah.
Oh, only after the blood is squeezed onto the mizbeach. Exactly. So the blood of the chata sa'if is a matzah, right? Parim and istirim and seirim and istirim. And in the case of the parim and the seirim that are burnt outside the matzah, the five chatoris of pnimiyot that we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, then once the blood of them is sprinkled on the mizbeach, that's matter that now the emurim can be offered on the mizbeach, and then the rest of them is taken out. All that we learn from the comparison to shlomim, right? On the other hand, continues the braisa umosi ani et hakoymus. On the other hand, we exclude thereby the koymus because the koymus is itself the matter. There's no matter for the koymus. The koymus itself is the matter. That's a lavoina, and the lavoina that goes along with the korban mincha, same thing, the incense that goes along with the korban mincha, same thing, that lavoina is part of the matir. Vaktoris, and the ktoris, because again, there's no matir for it, it itself is completely burnt up in the ve'achadav. Or minchas koyanim, and a mincha brought by koyanim, where again, there's no kmitzah on it, the entire thing as is burnt up in the ve'ach, so there's no matir. Minchas Koyin Mashiach, and mincha that the Koyin Gadol brings every day, the Chavit Koyin Gadol, that's brought half in the morning, half in the evening.
Okay.
Again, it's completely no matter, it's completely burnt on the mizbeach. Minchas Nesachim, and the Menachos that come along with most Korbanos, where again, those are completely burnt or poured on the mizbeach. The Hadam, and the blood, which is also the matter of the Korban. The blood itself is the matir. Therefore, a person were to eat the blood itself or a korban of pigul, he wouldn't be chayav karis. He'd be chayav karis for eating blood, but he wouldn't be chayav karis for pigul. Right. Rav Shimon Omer.
Running thing, right, by the way, how much are we talking about?
A kazayis.
A kazayis
of blood.
So if you find a kazayis of blood in a chicken or anything like that?
Well, even less than a kazayis is not allowed, because they have a machlokas in Yuma, where the chassi shir is also daraita or midrabanan. Definitely also with machlokas, Rosh Lakish and Rabbi Yisman, where the chassi shir is also midaraita or midrabanan. Either way, it's also. So no. So chassi shir means any amount. Yeah. So, okay, so if you find blood in a chicken, actually the bigger issue is not necessarily even so much the blood. The bigger issue is you may have, especially you often find it in the leg, you may have, if there was an injury to the sinus agidium, which would actually make the chicken shake. Also, we'll learn about that in colon in next year. That's the same, yeah. So more often that can be the problem. But yes, if it's in an area where that's not an issue, then yes, it would still mean that's also
if it's in close to your shoulder. Or
no, I mean, the typical place where you find it is in the chicken's leg, where there's concern that the sinus agidium, the bundle of nerves that innervates the leg, may have gotten damaged. And the halacha is if that bundle of nerves gets damaged, then the chicken is straight.
But in the shoulder, the nerves can
be damaged. Yes, right. We'll learn about it in the chulin. That's a shame. We'll have a long discussion about it. But anyway, yeah. So midaraisa.
Midaraisa. The chicken.
Yeah. Yeah.
Midaraisa.
I mean, it's halacha. Most of the issues of treifas are halacha l'mosh m'sinai. You have halacha l'mosh m'sinai is that there are the eight basic categories of treifas, and among them is, and then one of the subcategories of them is where the gidin is, where the famous gidin is damaged. Yeah. Again, we'll learn about it. I mean, we're gonna have plenty to talk about when we get there. We'll have lots and lots of discussions about animal and bird and that. But yeah, okay. But yeah, other than that, if it's not an issue with that, then the blood itself is osur. If it was a kazayas, but even if it was a kazayas, the person wouldn't necessarily be chayav karis for it because it's not dam hanefesh. It's not necessarily, it's not the first spurt of blood that comes out when the animal is shattered. Practically speaking, it depends. You cut it out, and you have issues whether it's bottle, whether it made everything else in the pot straight. But those are other issues. You have issues whether the rest of it was veleya from it. But at any rate, that area itself, at the very least, you would cut out. Okay, fine. Reb Shimon said, I'm learning another thing from the comparison with Shlomim. Ma Shlomim yichodin shiyesh ba'alam zehachitzayin. What is unique about Shlomim? What's a factor we can say about Shlomim? That the blood of them goes on the Mizbeach HaChitzen, the Chayov and Olav. And we're saying that's the kind of korban, that's the prototype of the type of korban for which a person is Chayov who eating pickle. Ach kol sheyesh na Mizbeach HaChitzen, Chayov and Olav. Therefore, he says the same thing. In order for a person to be Chayov Kares for eating pickle, it would have to be pickle from the type of korban where the blood of it goes on a mizbeach achitzen, mishum pigle. Then he would be chayav another mishum pigle. Yotzu parim only if it was the kind of korban where the blood is supposed to go on a mizbeach achitzen. Yotzu parim anisrafim mitzirim anisrafim. Therefore, Rav Shimon says, I'm going to exclude the five chataris apnimiyus. Hoyol she'ein on a mizbeach achitzen kishlamim. Since the blood of them is not sprinkled on a mizbeach achitzen, in that sense they're not like a shlamim, because it's sprinkled in the kodesh kadashim and in the kodesh and on the mizbeach alav. Ein chayav another mishum pigle. Says Rav Shimon, therefore, pigle does not apply to it. As he said in Onish. No, he disagrees with the Chachamim.
Regardless,
so now let's analyze the Braita. We said in the first couple of lines of the Braita, we said, or at least the excerpt of the Braita that we quoted, we said that based on the original Gzeira Shava, that teaches us about the concept of pigle applies not just to a shlomim. We would think, well, we said that the double zeta shava over there, chilu chilu, and oven, incidentally, by the way, Tosfos points out, in the next paragraph, we're going to have a long discussion extending over a couple of blocks about the whole question we dealt with briefly in our paragraph, the question when you learn something in Kodshin with a hekish, can you learn another thing from it with a hekish? And we're going to say no, and we're going to have a long discussion, what about not a hekish? What about if you learn it with a hekish, can you learn from it with a greater shot? Can you learn from it with a kabbal chayim? We're going to discuss it. We're going to have a whole discussion. We're going to have 16 different possibilities because you have four midas that we're going to be dealing with, and if something is learned with one of them, can it be relearned from it with another one of the four? So we're going to have 16 possibilities to go through. It's going to be a long and somewhat complex sugya. Tosfos points out we see from our sugya over here that when you learn one thing with a gzeira shava, you're then in kodshin, you're then able to learn another thing from it with a gzeira shava. Therefore, in that sugya, the gemara doesn't mention that point. But we could use this example as a proof that, yes, if the thing works, that you can have a double Zeta shot like that. You can't have a double Hekish, but you can have a double Zeta shot. Yeah. Okay. All right, so getting back to our Gemara. Omamar, Chayotze B'Shlomim. So, okay, the Braisa said that if we only have the original Zeta Shava that teaches us about Pigle, then you would think it only applies to Korbanos that are similar to Shlomim. So what is the question is, my mu, what do you mean by similar to shlomim? The pashkas, you mean b'chor. You mean a b'chor, which is similar to a shlomim in the nechal shneyam of a laila, similar to a shlomim in that it can be eaten for 2 days and one night. But the question is, if the b'raita is assuming that you could just learn that just by the gzeira shava, why? The mai ofi, why? How are you going to learn it? Even mamatinu, are you going to say you're going to use a mamatinu? Once you find that it applies to shlomim, then you're going to apply it to similar korbanos. Where mamatinu is a binyan av, in other words, but if it says by shlomim, then we apply it to other similar things. Ikla mitrach, so you can shlog up that mamatinu. Mal shlomim, because after all, a shlomim is different than a b'chor. Change on in smicha, because a shlomim, you have to do smicha on the head of the animal, before it's shechted. A b'chor, you don't. Or nesachim, a shlomim requires nesachim, a b'chor doesn't. Nesachim is flour and wine and oil, that's all good.
Does it
go with it, right? Utznufas cause of a shoyk, and a shlomim needs, you give the chest and the leg of the animal to the kohen, which you don't buy the chor. So you can't learn it that way. Ela me'im he'ochol ye'ochol. No, rather you have to say that the braise is saying that you would learn, that you would think to learn that it applies only by shlomim, and then by b'chor, you would learn from the word he'ochol ye'ochol. So we have a double expression, so therefore you would learn something extra. Question is, how can you learn anything from that? That's two klalim one after the other. You want to say it's a klal of prophet, well, fine. You can learn other things that are similar. You have to done on the kain of prophet. Here you have no prophet.
Yeah, two klalim one after the other.
And two klalim one after the other. How are you learning something else?
How do we know? It's the question. It could be...
That's the question. In other words, that's the question. How are you learning? The pras only says later on, im he'ocho ye'ocho mibsar zevach ha'shlamim. You have a klal, then another klal, and then a prophet. How are you thinking to learn from that you should include other things similar to a shlomim? That's not how it has to be a klal, then prop, then klal.
You don't have a klal, a klal, and a prop.
Right. Amar Rava, so the answer is Rava says, actually you can. Kid'ambi b'mar Rava, like they say in Eretz Yisrael, kol makom shatamot shnei klolos asmukum zelazeh, any place in the Torah where you find two klolim, one after the other, and later on and you find a prop afterwards, hato prop b'neim, then you rearrange them, you take the prat as if it was placed between them, the dunim, the klal of prat, and then you use it as a usual klal of prat as well. So therefore, then you rearrange it into klal of prat as well. Therefore, so based on that, we would have reason to say that what applies to a shlomim also applies to a b'chor, because they're both eaten for shnei yom v'layla. But we wouldn't know that the concept of pigul also applies to other korbanos, and that is why we needed the word mitzar and the word zeva. As the Bright said,
even though from this cloud,
from this cloud of prophet cloud, we can only include things that are similar to the shlomim,
right.
Namely b'chor.
Right.
Even b'chor, we thought might be dissimilar because of smicha and the sachem and so forth, but at least it's similar enough to be included in a cloud of prophet cloud. But the other ones are completely dissimilar.
How do you make difference what's similar enough and not similar enough?
Yeah, because we have to see. We have to figure out what the salient characteristics of a shlomim, and then find other things that are in that same class. That's how a cloud of prophet cloud works.
So here we compare
the shlomim to the b'chor, but we couldn't bring in other things were it not for the words, because they're too dissimilar, were it not for the words mitzar, which includes anything else of which the meat is eaten, and zevach, which includes all korbanos in general. Fine. Then the braita said, ad shani marba loy shomon shomot tzorah. The braita said, if we go like that, once we're including the word zevach, and we're including even from the Hasher Hein Makdishim Li, that it includes everything else that's offered to Hashem. Well, then in that case, we can also include the loig of oil that's brought by Masoda, that is subject to pigul.
Yeah.
The question is, now we have to figure out how many the mayors. Now, who is that bride like, apparently? Because we said that the ones that said Hasher Hein Makdishim Li, that they sanctify to me, means therefore the loig of Shaman Shamasoda is also brought as part of the Kurban, yeah. So Hamani Reb Meir. So now who is that like? It seems to be only like Reb Meir. The Tanya, which we learned in our Mishnah, and we learned in a Braisa in more detail. The Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Loig Shem and Shamasurda, Chayavin Allah Mishim Tikul. The loig of oil that Masurda brings, a person can be hired for eating it if it's Tikul. Meaning, in other words, again, if it was brought with the Oshem, we learned in the Mishnah that the loig Shem does not necessarily have to be brought at the same time as the Oshem. It can be brought even days later. But if it's brought at the same time as the Oshem, so Reb Meir holds the Osham is what's master it. Therefore, if the Osham was made pigul, then the sprinkling of the blood of the Osham is master of the oil. Therefore, Reb Meir says if the Osham was pigul, then therefore the loig becomes pigul as well, and a person were to eat it, he's chayav kares. Divir a mayor, that's what a mayor says. Okay, so it seems that the Braisa is going according to the mayor. However, Ema Sefer, well, the Chachamim, as we said in our Mishnah, is Reb Shimon, right? However, Ema Sefer, but then look at the next part of the Braisa that we quoted before, the middle of the Amud, where we said, Umoiti ani minchas nesachim v'adam. However, we can exclude the minchas nesachim and blood, which we said, why minchas nesachim? Because they can be brought by themselves, and they're not subject to pigle. Asam rabbanan. Now that goes according to the rabbanan from our Mishnah. And again, in more detail in a braisa. The Tanya, as we learn in a braisa, niske behem chayavan aleim mishum pigle. The nesachim, that are flour and wine and oil that are brought together with an animal carbon, a person is chayav for them for pigle. So again, if the carbon was made pigle, then the nesachim become pigle along with it. Because only once the blood of the korban is sprinkled does it now make it mutter to offer the nesachim on the mizbeach. Give it a mayor, that's what a mayor says. Omrulai, however, the chachamim said to him, why? It's not necessarily the dam hazevach has anything to do with them. After all, we know that a person is able to bring his korban today. And then he can bring the nesachim even as much as 10 days later. And that, so therefore, one has nothing to do with the other. So even if the nesachim happen to be brought at the same time as the korban, there's no particular connection between them. It just happens that they're being brought at the same time. You can't say, therefore, the blood of the korban is the matir for the nesachim. The nesachim stand on their own. They have no matir. They themselves are their own matir. And based on the rule we said before that we're learning from Shlomim, then they shouldn't be subject to pigle. And by the way, it's interesting, you know, the Gemara uses the expression, ad astara yamim, does it mean only up to 10 days, or does it mean more than that? The Maharam Shif actually brings, in Gittin, you have a Gemara over there that also mentions something about astara yamim, and Rashi and Tosfos actually argue over there, does it mean literally that you have a deadline of 10 days, or does it mean, is it just 10 days in the sense of indefinite? Over here also, perhaps just it would be the same kind of thing.
According to Chachamim, though, come back to this point, there's no pigle for the...
For the nesachim, because the nesachim have no matter. They are their own matter. Right. Omalahan, sort of...
Based on the delay.
Yes. Omalahan, sort of, mayor says to them, you're right. Afani lo yamarti el bavoy namazava. You're right. I'm only talking about when they come together with the korban. You're right. If they're brought later on in the korban, then I agree. Pigle doesn't apply to them. But if they're brought with the korban, then I hold that the korban is being matter then.
And that's still
whereas the Chachamim say it doesn't matter.
Whether it's now or later,
either way. Okay, so the problem, therefore, is getting back to, again, the long braisa that we brought before from Torah Kainim, where the one part of it seems to be like Reb Meir, that mentions that the Loib Shemin Shamasora is subject to Pigle, which Reb Shimon disagrees with in our Mishnah, Reb Shimon being the Chachamim. On the other hand, he says we exclude Minchat Nesachim, and that works only according to the Chachamim. So who is the braisa like, Reb Meir or the Chachamim? Rav Yosef Hamani Rebbe. So Rav Yosef says, fine, but we can say that the opinion that the Braisa follows is the opinion of Rebbe. It's Rebbe. The Omar, where Rebbe says the case of the Loik Shemen is a special case. He says, Loik Shemen Shamasura Matnoisav Shorle. He says like this, with Loik Shemen Shamasura, now again, the Loik Shemen, some of it is you have what's done with it is as follows. He takes the loig shemen.
What's the loig shemen?
It's a loig. The loig is a measurement. A quarter of a halv. In modern measurements, it's about pints, give or take. You have this loig of olive oil that's brought along with the carbonus and the soda. The kohen takes it and dips his finger into it and sprinkles seven times in the direction of the heichel. He's standing there in the azar. He sprinkles seven times in the direction of the entrance of the heichel. Then he takes some of it and...
It has to be tar.
Of course it
has to be tar. So how does
the Masura is not tomic completely at this point. He's a mechutzel kipurim. But, I mean, the same way as he brings the rest of his carbonus, yeah. But besides, you can bring it in a kavi that's not subject to being kabbal truma. You can bring it in a clay by avonim, for example, or whatever. That's not the point. But yeah, okay. So the kohen again, he dips his finger in and sprinkles it seven times in the direction of the ankle. Then he applies some of it to the masora's right ear, the ear lobe, or ear cartilage, or whatever. There's different opinions among rishonim what tnuch alma mean. Then his right thumb, his right big toe. Then he puts some of it on the masora's head. The rest of it, the Kohanim can eat. The rest of it, the Kohanim can consume like any other food. Yeah. So now, therefore, the Loik Shemen is something that, so the Loik Shemen is something that has Shirayim that are eaten. And we said before that Korbanos that have the Shirayim eaten, well, we said even Korbanos that don't have the Shirayim eaten, are subject to pickle. But the question is, basically, does the Loik Shemen have some other masses? So the mayor again, well, so the mayor, other than itself, Reb Meir holds that it does. It has, the Oshem is its master. Once the blood of the Oshem is sprinkled, then the Loik Shemen is available to be used for its role in the Avodah and later on to be eaten by the Kohanim. The Chachamim disagree because they, the Chachamim being Reb Shimon, because they say, no, the Loik stands on its own. The Loik is able to be brought separately even many days after the Oshem. Rebbe takes kind of an intermediate view. Rebbe says, within the Loik Shemen itself, it contains a matir, the same way as like a Kohen Mincha contains a matir, you scoop out a Kohen from it and burn it on the Mizbeach, that is the matir, and the rest of the Mincha is eaten by the Kohenim. Similarly, with the Loik Shemen, he says the matanos, the seven sprinklings that are done in the direction of the Hinkle, that is its matir, and after that, the rest of it is able to be eaten by the Kohenim. Therefore, umi the matanos of Sharulei, matanos of Mephagulei. Therefore, since it's the matanos that are its matir, therefore it's capable of having pigle applied to it if the Kohen has in mind the thought of pigle during the seven matanos.
As opposed to
Reb Shimon, who would say that it doesn't apply to it at all, and Reb Meir would say that if it comes with the korban, then it can become pigle together through the korban, but not by itself. Rebbe says it's able to become pigle on its own, or on its own, because of its own matanos, right? The Tanya, as we learn in a place, the loig shemen shamatzorah, moil and boi, ad shiyizir fadam, the loig of oil of the mitzorah, mi'ila applies to it, if a person were to misuse it or eat it or whatever, the mi'ila applies to it, ad shiyizir fadam, until the blood of the korban is sprinkled, nizir fadam le'nenin v'leimayah, then once the blood is sprinkled, but before the sprinklings with the oil have been done, Loinenin, you're not allowed to have anah from it midrabban until the matanos have been done, until the seven sprinklings of it have been done. By the way, you also have, it's still going to have to be, the fact that it has to be put on his ear and thumb and toe and on his head. But those are not l'shamayim, those are not offerings to Hashem, so to speak. Therefore definitely the issue of me'ila is over with once the seven sprinklings are done. What we're saying, once the blood of the Oshem has been sprinkled, but before the seven sprinklings of the oil have been done, midrabanan you're not allowed to have enough. Me'ila still applies. V'loy moilin, but midaraisa, me'ila doesn't apply to it anymore once the blood was sprinkled. Right. By the way, the Rambam actually has an interesting shita on it. The Rambam holds that nevertheless, if a person were to eat from this oil before the seven sprinklings are done, even though we're saying over here that Me'ila only applies to it to Rabbanon, the Rambam holds, fine, Me'ila would only apply to it to Rabbanon. However, the person would be Chayef Malkus for eating it before the sprinklings were done, because the Rambam says it would be the equivalent of eating from a korban before the blood was sprinkled on the Mizbeach. And the Achronim have a bit of a time understanding how the Amam understands that, how we deal with that matter, that on the one hand, Me'ila doesn't apply to it, but on the other hand, Isra Achiva would apply to it. Okay, anyway. Fine. Rebbe Omer, Moilin, Ad Shigit, and Machnosa. Rebbe says, no, Me'ila applies to it until the seven Machnosa of it are done. So we see that, therefore, by the same logic, Rebbe would say, therefore, that seven Machnosa are its own master, and therefore, Pigol could apply to them, right? The shavin sh'asav achila, however, everybody does agree that the oil is also to eat, actually it's in matan sheva or matan bahonis, until you do the seven sprinklings and the application to the mesodas, ear, thumb, and toe. The straightforward explanation of the Gemara as we'd understand it's dirabonim, again, that I don't understand is dirabonim. But whatever, the point is that the point is, Rabbi Yosef is saying, therefore, Rebbe can be saying that the loik shemen is able to become pigul on its own, through its own seven machanes. Therefore, the braisa that was quoted before can be according to Rebbe, not Reb Meir and not Reb Shimon. Amruah kamed Reb Yumia, however, they told this discussion, they told this explanation over to Reb Yumia. Omar, he said, Gavra Rabba to Reb Yosef, Lamech Yom Milsa. How could it be that a great person, like a great Talmud Chacham, like Reb Yosef, could possibly say something like that? It can't possibly be correct. Reb Yumia said, Hare Luga Bob. What? Yeah, Rabbi, they were contemporaries. Hare Lug Abba. After all, consider the case where the Lug is brought on its own, because again, the Lug does not have to be brought with the korban. It could be brought even days later. The Lakula Alma Matnos of Shololei. Now, everybody agrees in that case. Obviously, the blood of the Oshem is not being mastered. Even 10 days later or whatever. Obviously, the blood of the Oshem is not being mastered, because it may not have even been declared that it's going to be for the Korban. It may not have even been Nikdash yet at the time. So obviously the Ashram has nothing to do with it. So the L'chula Amma Machmeris of Sholeh, there's no question, everybody agrees, both Rebbe and the other Chachamim, that what makes it Mutter to be eaten is when you do the seven Machmeris, the Lord Mephagelin, right? But we know that when it's brought on its own, Pigul does not apply to it. And we know that, the Tanya, because we learn in a Baita, Loig Shem and Shem Atzera Chayavan Ala Mishom Pigul, the Loig of Oil of the Atzera, you are high, a person is higher for eating it if it became Pigul, through the carbon, the Pneshet Gam Matsuda Labinus, because the blood is what makes it, once the blood of, only once the blood of the Asham is sprinkled, does it become Mutter to use this oil to place on the Matsuda's ear, thumb, and toe. Bahonis means thumb and toe. So we use that generically to mean all the applications on the various parts of his body. Divir Rav Meir, that's what Rav Meir says. Amru Loyal Rav Meir, so the Chachamim said to Rav Meir, why? Maybe Ashamay Achshav Lug Mikan Vada Sari Yamim. Can it be, isn't it true that a person is able to bring the Asham now and Lug even many days later, 10 days later?
Amalahem.
Right, Amalahem, he says to them, Afani Loyam Asi Alabama Ima Asham. And Rav Meir says, you're right. I'm only saying that it's subject to Pigul only when it comes with the Asham, which means both the Chachamim and Rav Meir agree that the matanos of the oil itself are not what make it subject to Pigul. According to Rav Meir, only the blood of the Asham is able to make the oil Pigul. And according to the Chachamim, nothing can make it Pigul because it's completely independent regardless.
So
we don't find Rebbe arguing in that context. So we have to assume Rebbe would agree with one or the other of these positions. So how can we say, fine, Rebbe is saying that you're not allowed to eat from it before the Machanes Sheva are done. That doesn't mean that Rebbe would hold, Rebbe would say actually that Me'ilah applies to it until the seven Machanes are done. That doesn't mean that he would hold that the seven Machanes are capable of creating Pigul. So therefore, how can you, Rebbe Yosef, say that that's what the Braisa from Amar Aleph is going according to Rebbe when we don't have any basis to say that Rebbe would hold that? Rabbi Yemiya says, well, Olam Rav Meir, fine, you have to say that the Braisa from Amar Aleph is according to Rav Meir, or seeming kind of Nesachim. Okay, of necessity, we have to delete Nesachim from it. You're right. If the Braisa is according to Rav Meir, then Rav Meir would hold that Nesachim are able to become Pigul. So therefore, we can't have listed in the Braisa among things that are not subject to Pigul Nesachim, because Rav Meir would disagree with that. Okay, delete Nesachim from that list of things that are not subject to Pigul.
It's a mistake,
yeah, it could be. That's the Braises were taught by heart, right? Nothing was written down in those days. It's Tosh Rafa after all. So sometimes it can happen. When the Tanoim are repeating over a Braisa, they make a mistake in it. In this case, Rabbi Yemi is saying that, yeah, evidently it's a mistaken version of the Braisa. That has no problem in it, because only according to the heart. So it must be, in other words, right? So, well, according to the mayor, Nesachim could be Pigul.
Right.
So you can't have it in the list of things that can't be Pigul.
Right.
So in other words, what must have happened, according to Rabbi Yemiya, you would have to say people who added the word Nesachim were following the opinion of the Chachamim. They didn't realize this Braisa goes like a mayor, so mistakenly they inserted the word Nesachim. Okay. Amar Abaya, but Abaya says, or Abaya Amar actually, she can talk about this, changes it too, because Abaya is disagreeing with Rabbi Yemiya.
Abaya Amar?
It should say Abaya Amar. Amar Abaya would mean Abaya is saying a new statement. Amar Abaya Amar means that he's disagreeing with the previous statement. No, you actually don't have to delete it from the Braisa. The ton of Lug Haboyim Asham. No, what it is like the Braisa is talking about the case when the Lug comes together with the Asham, where according to the mayor, there is therefore a connection between them, because even though the Lug could have been brought days later, the fact is he did bring it with the Asham, and therefore the Asham is able to make it pigle. Vahu Hadin, Lizan Sachem Haboyim Razeva. Understand from that the same rule would apply, according to the mayor, to Nesachim that are brought along with the carbon, as we said in our Mishnah. Same logic. If they're being brought with the carbon, then the carbon is their master. And then, then later on, the Braisa mentions, in its list of things that are not subject to Pigul, it mentions Nesachim, which come on their own. In other words, when they're not being brought at the same time as the carbon. And you're meant to understand, but what in the Lug of Babak Neasma, you're meant to understand that the same thing would apply if one's Rav Meir when the Lug is being brought by itself. Because again, we said, we quoted before in Braises, that Rav Meir agreed, and in our Mishnah for that matter, that Rav Meir agrees if the Lug is being brought independently, then it's not subject to Pigul.
And then
so then another thing. So right. So in other words, when the Braisa mentions the Lug, and later on it mentions the Nesachim, the contrast is not between the Lug versus the Nesachim. The contrast is it being brought with the main korban, or is it not being brought with the main korban? Korban. If it's being brought with the main Korban, whether it's the Lug or whether it's Nesachim, then Rameyah would say Pigul can apply to it. If it's being brought independently, whether it's Nesachim or the Lug, Rameyah would say that Pigul does not apply. So we were wondering on Amud Aleph, we thought to say that the Braita is mentioning the Lug and mentioning the Sochim, and therefore the Braita is trying to set up a contrast between them. So Abaye is saying the Braita is not setting up a contrast between the Lug and the Sochim. The Braita is mentioning one in one context and the other in the other context, but we're meant to understand that the essential difference is it being brought with the Korban or not.
Braita could have expressed it a little
It could have expressed it a little differently. It could have said in the first part, it could have said Lug Shemen, and explained that it means when it comes with the Korban,
right.
And later on said Lug Shemen when it comes without the Korban. But okay, it said it this way, and we're meant to understand it. Fine. Now we said in the Mishnah and in the Braita, Chasa Sa'oif Jama Matya Sara Lakoin, and we said that when a Chasa Sa'oif, the blood of it, when it's squeezed onto the Mazeach, is Matya that the meat of it can be eaten by the Koinim. Minohani really. Now, where do we know that from? Bechlal, where do we know the concept that a chasa sa'if is even eaten? And the point of the question is, because we know that a bird, it's like this. A bird korban, first of all, we don't have anything explicit in the pasuk that says that it is, but that's first of all, but second of all, more to the point is also, when you get down to it, How is a bird korban killed? You don't shaft it with a knife like you do an animal korban. You do melissa with a thumbnail. Normally, if that was done for anything other than a genuine korban, then it would be nevela. So the question is basically, how do we know? I mean, on the face of it, nevela. How do we know korban am I supposed to eat it?
Melissa,
the Torah told us to do melissa, but maybe it means the Torah is telling us to do melissa, but it means it's melissa, but it's not to be eaten after that. Matter of fact, it's interesting actually. The Gemara mentions elsewhere in Menachos, the Gemara tells about how there are various psukim in Sefer Yechezkel that seem to contradict the Torah on the face of it. The Chachamim for a while were very concerned about that. Till Hanani ben Chizki ben Goroin figured it, sat down there for a long time and researched it and figured them out. One of the things the Chachamim were concerned about is a pasuk in Yechezkel that says Koinim. It's at the end, it's the last pasuk of that Torah, Parshas Emor. That says, kol nevela u'treifa lo yoichel ha-koinim. The koinim are not allowed to eat any nevela u'treifa. So the question, what do you mean? Koinim are not allowed to eat implying that you're Israel. Nobody's allowed to eat nevela. No, you're just allowed to eat nevela u'treifa. So on the face of it, he's contradicting the Torah. The Torah is saying nobody can eat it. And Yechezkel is saying only koinim can eat it, implying you can't eat it, implying Israel can. What Hanani ben Chizki ben Goren figured out is what Yechezkel was telling us is like this. Given that we have that koinim are allowed to eat a chasasot, which was killed by Melika, which again normally would make it a Nevela. You would think maybe the whole concept of Nevela doesn't apply to them. Maybe other than that, they're allowed to eat Nevela in general. Therefore, Yechezkel stresses for us that, no, Koinim are not allowed to eat Nevela. Meaning, in other words, for Yisraelim, we don't have to say it, because we don't have any reason to think that they were able to eat Nevela. But Koinim, who in this one case are able to eat Nevela, then yes.
Nobody before him, but explained.
Apparently not, yeah. So the question is
it's also a little questionable that you consider a nurse that's been after Malika is a Nevela.
But that's essentially what it is. It wasn't killed by Shita, therefore on the face of it, it's a Nevela.
Malika because of Torah.
That's fine, but nevertheless, the same Torah tells us that Shita has to be done with something that's not attached to the human body. And that it has to be done with a back and forth motion. But Malika is not Shchita. The fact is they're two different things. So the question is, how do we know that Koinim b'chlal eat it? The answer is the Menani. The answer is the Toni Levi, because Levi taught a Braita as follows. You have in Parshas Korach, the turtle lists one after the other, most of the Matnes Kohuna. The Posit says that you Aaron and your sons can eat kol korbanim, all of their korbanim. So kol korbanim means all of their korbanim, even the bird korbanim. And not only that, l'rabis loig shem and shem aserda. It also comes to include the loig of oil that's brought by the aserda. That even though now you would think it's not really a korban, but the answer is it is. Now why do you need a special list for it? Because earlier in that pasuk it says that these are the things that you're entitled to eat from the min ha'esh, from the fire, of kasev rachmana, the pasuk says, v'hai lav moisim min ha'eshu, the loig of oil, and for that matter the chatas of oil, are not min ha'esh, because no part of it is offered on the fire of the mizeach. So the high love most of them an issue. You squeeze the blood out of the mizbeach and then the kohen eats the rest. No part of it is offered on the mizbeach. And similarly with the loiv shemen, no part of it is offered on the mizbeach. So it's not really min ha'esh. Kamash malon. That is why we have the words kol korbanim to include even these things. So that is the source in the Torah that the kohen eats the chatas ha'oiv and that they eat the loiv shemen from the Torah. And by the way, actually, we have, now we're gonna learn later, actually, it's a couple of things we're gonna learn separately. We're gonna learn, we have a separate word. So we're quoting a long braisa, we're quoting a braisa over here that's going to darshan, this pasuk phrase by phrase. So sorry, kol kobonim does not include the chatas ha'oiv. Kol kobonim includes the loiv shemen from the Torah. The point is, even though no part of it goes in the fire, it's still called korbanim because the pasuk we're in Parashat Masorah, where it describes the korbanim of the Masorah, it calls it a korban. So therefore, called korbanim means something that's called
a
korban.
Yeah, but we would have justified a korban.
Right. No, we're going to learn the chatas ha'oiv we'll learn soon. Okay. Then the pasuk.
So the whole pasuk
goes like this. The following shall be for you from the Holy of Holies, meaning it doesn't just mean Kodesh Kodashim as in Kodesh Kodashim, it means any Korbanus, from the fire, in other words, in the sense that some of it is put on the fire and the Mizbeach, and the rest you can eat. Kol Korbanam, all their Korbanus, Lachom in Chatam, regarding all their Minachas, Lachom in Lachol Chatasam, and regarding all their Chatas, Lachol Hashamam Asher Yeshivuli, and regarding all their Asham, which they give back to me. All of those, Kodesh Kodashim, who the whole of Anacha, all of them are Kodesh Kodashim for you and your children. So we're dashing the pasuk phrase by phrase. So again, the Kol Korbanim includes the Loiv Shem and Shem HaTzorah, which even though it's not Min Ha'esh, it's still called a Korban. Then the Chol Minchas, someone continues, as far as older Menachos, Lulabos, Minchas Omer, and Minchas Aknos. That comes to teach us that also the Kohenim eat the leftovers of the Minchas Omer. Again, a Kohenim of it is placed on the Mizbeach, and they eat the rest of it, and the Minchas Knos, the Mincha that's brought by a Sosa. Now, why do we need a special limud for those? Fakrat Hamina, you would think like this. What kind of Korbanos do Kohenim eat? The kind of which the Pasuk says, V'ochlu Osem Asher Kufa Abraham, they should eat them because that is how they accomplish the full kapara for the owner. So in other words, maybe it only applies to things which are accomplishing kapara. Minchas Omer laHaser. Yeah. Now the Minchas Omer is not meant for kapara. It's meant to be matir that from now on means chadash, the new crop of grain. Minchas Knos Levar Oven Kaf. Yeah. And the Minchas Knos is not meant to be mechaper for an avera either. It's meant to clarify: did she do the avera or not? So maybe those are not really things of kapara. Maybe they're not included in the general rule that kohenim should eat them. Kamash Malon. That is why the pasuk says Lachol Minchasam to include those ones as well. Then it continues, Ulcho Chatosam, then when it says, as far as older Chatos, that is Lulabis Chatosai. That's where we're including Chatosai. Now, why do we need a special thing for that? That's not Ramina, Nevela, because otherwise we think it's Nevela, and that's what we were saying before. And the Malika is, after all, it is Nevela, just the Torah is Maturid in this, but that's the point. It's not Shvita. It doesn't follow the normal rules of Shvita. Yeah. We're going to learn in Chulin, when we get to talking about Shchita in Chulin, that's Hashem, we will learn there's five basic rules of Shchita that are all halachah and Mishmi Sinai, and they're not really being followed by Malika. One of the rules is Jirasa, that you can't press down, you have to do a back and forth motion, whereas Malika is done with a pressing motion. You have five basic rules regarding the act of shchita itself. You also have rules regarding what you can do shchita with. One of them being that it has to be something detached from its original source. Here you're doing with a fingernail attached to the body. Right. Or it doesn't have to be a knife, but whatever. It has to be something sharp, but something detached from its original source of growth, where the nail is attached to the body. Shchita has to be done from the front of the neck. Malika is done from the back of the neck.
Malika
is the back of the neck. Yeah. Yeah, you start by cutting, you cut through, you use the fingernail to cut through the bird's spinal cord, and then to cut through the simon.
Oh.
With an animal, that would make it nevela before it was ever shechted. So all these kinds of things, it's not shechita, it is nevela. So if it weren't for the word l'chol chatosam, you would think the kohenim shouldn't be eating it. Kamash malon, that is why the pasuk says the word l'chol chatosam to teach us that nevertheless they do eat it.
And it's not a nevela.
Or rather, it isn't available, but the Torah is giving Kohenim special permission to eat it. As a matter of fact, actually, you have the various cases, we're going to learn some of them later on in the Masechta, you have the various cases where Chatas Ha'oiv is being brought for a Sofik of some kind. And then the din is the Kohenim can't eat it. Because since it's a Sofik, we don't know whether it's a valid carbon Chatas or not, they can't eat it, because otherwise it's available.
When it's not a sate, they're obligated
then,
to eat.
Not obligated. I mean, that's part of the mitzvah, yeah. Part of the kapara. Part of the kapara is that they should be eating it. Yeah.
Okay.
What about, then the pasuk continues, l'chol asham, and the pasuk continues regarding all their asham. L'rabis asham nazir v'asham mitzvah. That comes to include that the Kohenim eat portions from the Osham of a Nazir and the Osham of a Nazir. Now, why do we need a special limud for that? Why do we need a special ribui for that? Sakrat come in, because otherwise you would think, again, they're not really coming for kapara. Lahashir kasu, they're coming to be makshir in person. In the case of an Asham Mitzvah, they're coming to be makshir to be kodshim. In the case of the Nazir, it's being makshir him that now he can start his new term of Nazir.
The Mitzvah comes after Asham Hara, doesn't he?
It's fine, but the Oshem is not a kapara for the Lashon Hara per se. It's meant to be masher him to eat.
What's the kapara?
The kapara was the Sarah Asa.
Yeah.
So the Asham Masorah is coming to be masher him to eat to eat Kodshim. The Asham Nazir is, we're talking about a Nazir who became Tomei, and he brings an Oshem as part of his Korbanos, and then he starts his Nazirus over again. So the Oshem makes it possible for him to start his new Nazirus. But those are not the kapara, so maybe Kohenim shouldn't be eating from them. That's why we need the words, L'chol Asham. The question is, what do you mean? Asham Masorah of the Hedek, excuse me. The Asham Masorah, the Torah explicitly says in Parashat Masorah that the Kohenim eats from it. So fine. That is listing it over here in Parashat Korach. Rashi says it's not the question. Okay, the Pasuk is listing over here all the Matnas Kohuna together. After the whole thing, after the whole crisis, with Korach's rebellion and everything, and Hashem is, so to speak, reaffirming Aaron's status as the Kohen Gadol and his sons as the Kohenim, and telling him, therefore, you have all these gifts that I'm giving you, so fine, I'll list them all one after the other. But why does he say the word Kol Asham? That's the question. If it can't be to include the Asham Masorah, because we already know that. El Rabbis Asham Nazir to Asham Masorah. No, the word Kol is meant to include the Asham Nazir, that it's like the Asham Masorah. Again, even though the Asham Nazir is not coming for Kapara, It's only coming to be Machshir and to start a new term of Nazir. And nowhere else does the Torah explicitly say that the Kohenim got a portion of it. Nonetheless, that's what it is. We learn it from the word Kol.
Because it
says, L'chol Ashamam, all their Asham, meaning not just a regular garden variety Asham, such as Asham Zelot and Asham Melot, which come for Kapara, and therefore there's no Chiddush in them, and not only an Asham Masorah, of which the Torah tells us in Parashat Masorah, that a Kohen eats a portion of it, but even the Asham Nazir, we're in Parashat Nasa, in last week's Parashat, the Torah didn't say that a Kohen gets a portion of that Asham, and it's not coming for Kapara, it's only coming to be Machshir and to start a new term of Nazir.
Right.
Nevertheless, Kol Ashamam teaches us that the Kohen gets a portion of it and eats it. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll finish up the bright. We'll finish up the bright tomorrow, and we'll finish up the bright tomorrow. Actually, you know what? Fine, two more lines. We'll do it now. Okay, Asher Yeshivu is a gezel agir. The pasuk continues the everything that they return, that they give to Hashem, means that includes gezel agir. That includes the case again from Parshas Bamidbar, Parshas Nasi, actually from Matthew's parasha, where a person stole from a ger and swore falsely to him, and then the ger died without heirs. We then. And he said, you give the money to the Kohenim who are on duty at that time. We learned about it in Baba Kama a couple of years back. And you bring a Kohen. So the Gezel Agir also goes to the Kohenim. We learn that from the word Asher Yeshivu. No. And when the Pasuk finishes, L'chohu, when the Pasuk says, it is for you, meaning Shachoyia, means the Gezel Agir is yours to the extent, in other words, it's 100% the property of the Kohenim, after the Makadosh by the Isha, in the sense that they're even able to be Makadosh a woman, which is usually the acid test of whether something actually belongs to them.
You think
so? No, it was stolen from the Ger, now it's being given to the Kohenim of that Nishmar. It becomes 100% theirs because the Ger died without it. But that's what we mean, in other words. So with the other, it doesn't mean the other things. For example, a Kohen can't necessarily be Makadosh a woman with his portions of Korbanos because they don't fully belong to him. It's called, the Gemara says elsewhere, Mishulchan Gavoya Kazachu. They're being zoicha in it from the table of Hashem. So they're not in that sense 100% his. It's actually Machloikas, I think, elsewhere, where they can be Makadosh with it. But the Gezel Agir, there's no question, there's no Kedusha in it. It's completely Chumen. Therefore, it's completely theirs, even to the extent of being Makadosh a woman.
But from the Vedic dice or from the something that belongs to
something that belongs to Hekdush and is given to Kohenim, not necessarily can they be Makadosh with.
So the Kohanim are not considered really completely part of the Eishtemos.
No, of course not. I mean, those things. Some of, again, some of the Matnas Kohuna that they're given is Mishulchan Gavoya of the 24 Matnas Kohuna. Some of them are still considered kodshim, for example, the portions of the karbanos and the shulchan gavaya, for example. On the other hand, you have some of their matnas kahuna are 100% holin, gezel ager being one of them. There's a few others also, for example, zroya l'chayayim b'keva is completely holin, they can do whatever they want with it. Reishis ager, where they're given the first portion of the shearing of wool from sheep. There's a few of them, there's like five of them, I think, that are completely holin.